Communal managed economics have always been more destructive of their societies than those driven by greed. This is what Dosati says. Greed sets its own limits, is self-regulating. The Dosati Analysis, Busab Text. McKee looked around the Legum office they'd assigned him. Afternoon smells from Tandalore's fern jungles came in an open window. A low barrier separated him from the court arena with its ranks of seats all around. His office and adjoining quarters were small but fitted with all requisite linkages to libraries and the infrastructure to summon witnesses and experts. It was a green-walled space so deceptively ordinary that its like had beguiled more than one non-Gowichan into believing he knew how to perform here. But these quarters represented a deceptive surface riding on Gowichan currents. No matter that the consentient pact modified what the Gowichan might do here, this was Tandalore, and the forms of the frog people dominated. Seating himself at the single table in the office space, McKee felt the chair dog adjust itself beneath him. It was good to have a chair dog again after Dosati's unrelenting furniture. He flipped a toggle and addressed the Gowichan face which appeared on the screen inset into his table. I require testimony from those who made the actual decision to set up the Dosati experiment. Are you prepared to meet this request? Do you have the names of these people? Did this fool think he was going to blurt out Mreg? If you force me to it, McKee warned, I will bind Erich to the law and extract the names from him. This had no apparent effect on the Gowichan. He addressed McKee by name and title, adding, I leave the formalities to you. Any witnesses I summon must have a name. McKee suppressed a smile. Suspicions confirmed. This was a fact which the watchful Gowichan in the screen was late recognizing. Someone else had read the interchange correctly, however. Another, older Gowichan face replaced the first one on the screen. What are you doing, McKee? Determining how I will proceed with this case. You will proceed as a legum of the Gowichan bar. Precisely. McKee waited. The Gowichan peered narrowly at him from the screen. Jedrick, you are speaking to Georges X. McKee, a legum of the Gowichan bar. Belatedly, the older Gowichan saw something of the way the Dosati experience had changed McKee. Do you wish me to place you in contact with Erich? McKee shook his head. They were so damned obvious, these underlings. Erich didn't make the Dosati decision. Erich was chosen to take the blow if it came to that. I will accept nothing less than the one who made that ultimate decision which launched the Dosati experiment. The Gowichan stared at him coldly. Then, one moment. I will see what I can do. The screen went blank, but the audio remained. McKee heard the voices. Hello? Yes. I'm sorry to interrupt at this time. What is it? That was a deep and arrogant Gowichan voice, full of annoyance at the interruption. It was also an accent which a Dosati could recognize in spite of the carefully overlaid masking tones. Here was one who'd used Dosati. The voice of the older Gowichan from McKee's screen continued. The legum bound to Erich has come up with a sensitive line of questioning. He wishes to speak to you.
To me?
But I am preparing for Laupuk. McKee had no idea what Laupuk might be, but it opened a new window on the Gowichan for him. Here was a glimpse of the rarefied strata which had been concealed from him all of those years. This tiny glimpse confirmed him in the course he'd chosen. He is listening to us at this time.
Listening? Why?
The tone carried threats, but the Gowichan who'd intercepted McKee's demands went on unwavering. To save explanations. It's clear that he'll accept nothing less than speaking to you. This caller is McKee, but...
Yes? You will understand.
I presume you have interpreted things correctly. Very well.
Put him on.
McKee's screen flickered, revealed a wide view of a Gowichan room such as he'd never before seen. A far wall held spears and cutting weapons, streamers of colorful pennants, glistening rocks, ornate carvings in a shiny black substance. All of this was backdrop for a semi-reclining chair dog occupied by an aged Gowichan who sat spraddle-legged being anointed by two younger Gowichan males. The attendants poured a thick golden substance onto the aged Gowichan from green crystal flasks. The flasks were of a spiral design. The contents were gently massaged into the Gowichan's skin. The old Gowichan glistened with the stuff, and when he blinked, no phylum tattoos.
"As you can see," he said, "I'm being prepared for..."
He broke off, recognizing that he spoke to a non-Gowichan. Certainly he'd known this. It was a slow reaction for a Dosadi.
"This is a mistake," he said.
"Indeed." McKee nodded pleasantly. "Your name?" The old Gowichan scowled at this gaucherie, then chuckled.
"I am called Mreg."
As McKee had suspected. And why would a Tandalur Gowichan assume the name, no, the title of the mythical monster who'd imbued the frog people with a drive toward savage testing? The implications went far beyond this planet. Colored Dosadi. You made the decision for the Dosadi experiment.
Someone had to make it.
That was not a substantive answer, and McKee decided to take it to issue. "You are not doing me any favors. I now know what it means to be a legum of the Gowichan Bar, and I intend to employ my powers to their limits." It was as though McKee had worked some odd magic which froze the scene on his screen. The two attendants stopped pouring unguent, but did not look toward the pickup viewer which was recording their actions for McKee. As for Mreg, he sat utterly still, his eyes fixed on blinking upon McKee. McKee waited. Presently, Mreg turned to the attendant on his left.
"Please continue. There is little time."
McKee took this as though spoken to himself. "You're my client. Why did you send a proxy?" Mreg continued to study McKee.
"I see what Ekris meant."
Then more briskly,
"Well, McKee, I followed your career with interest. It now appears I did not follow you closely enough. Perhaps if we had not..."
He left the thought incomplete. McKee picked up on this. "It was inevitable that I escape from Dosadi."
"Perhaps."
The attendants finished their work, departed, taking the oddly shaped crystal flasks with them. "Answer my question," McKee said.
"I am not required to answer your question."
"Then I withdraw from this case." Mreg hunched forward in sudden alarm.
"You cannot. Erich isn't..."
"I have no dealings with Erich. My client is that Gowichan who made the Dosadi decision."
"You are engaging in strange behavior for a legum."
"Yes, bring it."
This last was addressed to someone off-screen. Another attendant appeared, carrying a white garment shaped somewhat like a long apron with sleeves. The attendant proceeded to put this onto Mreg, who ignored him, concentrating on McKee.
"Do you have any idea what you're doing, McKee?"
"Preparing to act for my client."
"I see. Who told you about me?"
McKee shook his head. "Did you really believe me unable to detect your presence or interpret the implications of what my own senses tell me?" McKee saw that the Gowichan failed to see beneath the surface taunting. Mreg turned to the attendant who was tying a green ribbon at the back of the apron. The old Gowichan had to lean forward for this.
"A little tighter,"
he said. The attendant retied the ribbon. Addressing McKee, Mreg said,
"Please forgive the distraction. This must proceed at its own pace."
McKee absorbed this, assessed it Dosadi fashion. He could see the makings of an important Gowichan ritual here, but it was a new one to him. No matter. That could wait. He continued speaking, probing this Mreg. "When you found your own peculiar uses for Dosadi..."
"Peculiar?" It's a universal motivation, McKee, that one tries to reduce the competition.
Did you assess the price correctly? The price you might be asked to pay?
Oh, yes. I knew what I might have to pay.
There was a clear tone of resignation in the Gowichan's voice, a rare tone for his species. McKee hesitated. The attendant who'd brought the apron left the room, never once glancing in McKee's direction, although there had to be a screen to show whatever Mreg saw of his collar.
You wonder why I sent a proxy to hire the Legum? Mreg asked.
Why Erich?
Because he's a candidate for greater responsibilities. You know, McKee, you astonish me.
Undoubtedly you know what I could have done to you for this impertinence.
Yet that doesn't deter you.
This revealed more than Mreg might have intended, but he remained unaware or uncaring of what McKee saw. For his part, McKee maintained a bland exterior, as blank as that of any Dosati. I have a single purpose, McKee said. Not even my client will sway me from it.
The function of a Legum, Mreg said.
The attendant of the white apron returned with an unsheathed blade. McKee glimpsed a jeweled handle and glittering sweep of cutting edge about 20 centimeters long. The blade curved back upon itself in a tight arc at the tip. The attendant, his back to McKee, stood facing Mreg. The blade no longer was visible. Mreg, his left side partly obscured from McKee by the attendant, leaned to the right and peered up at the screen through which he watched McKee.
You've never been appraised of the ceremony we call Laupuk. It's very important, and we've been remiss in leaving this out of your education. Laupuk was essential before such a project as Dosati could be set in motion. Try to understand this ritual. It will help you prepare your case.
What was your phylum? McKee asked.
That's no longer important, but... Very well. It was Great Awakening. I was High Magister for 2 decades before we made the Dosati decision.
How many Rim bodies have you used up?
My final one. That, too, is no longer important. Tell me, McKee, when did you suspect Erich was only a proxy?
When I realized that not all Gowichan were born Gowichan.
But Erich?
Ah, yes. Erich aspires to greater responsibilities.
Yes, of course, I see. The Dosati decision had to go far beyond a few phylums or a single species. There had to be a... I believe you humans call it a high command. Yes, that would have become obvious to one as alert as you now appear. Your many marriages deceived us, I think. Was that deliberate?
Secure behind his Dosati mask, McKee decided to lie. Yes.
Ah.
Mreg seemed to shrivel into himself, but rallied.
I see. We were made to believe you some kind of dilettante with perverted emotions. It'd be judged a flaw which we could exploit. Then there's another high command, and we never suspected.
It all came out swiftly, revealing the wheels within wheels which ruled Mreg's view of the consentient universe. McKee marveled at how much more was said than the bare words. This one had been a long time away from Dosati, and had not been born there. But there were pressures on Mreg now forcing him to the limits of what he'd learned on Dosati. McKee did not interrupt.
We didn't expect you to penetrate Erich's role, but that was not our intent, as you know. I presume...
Whatever Mreg presumed, he decided not to say it, musing aloud instead.
One might almost believe you were born on Dosati.
McKee remained silent, allowing the fear in that conjecture to fill Mreg's consciousness. Presently, Mreg asked,
Do you blame all Gowichan?
Still, McKee remained silent. Mreg became agitated.
We are a government of sorts, my high command. People can be induced not to question a government.
McKee decided to press this nerve. Governments always commit their entire populations when the demands grow heavy enough. By their passive acceptance, these populations become accessories to whatever is done in their name.
You've provided free use of jump doors for the Dosadi.
McKee nodded. The Calibans are aware of their obligation. Jedrick has been busy instructing her compatriots.
You think to loose the Dosadi upon the Consentiency and hunt down my high command? Have a care, McKee. I warn you not to abandon your duties as a Legum, or to turn your back on Erich.
McKee continued silent.
Don't make that error, McKee. Erich is your client. Through him, you represent all Gowichin.
A Legum requires a responsible client, McKee said. Not a proxy, but a client whose acts are brought into question by the case being tried. Mreg revealed Gowichin signs of deep concern.
Hear me, McKee. I haven't much time.
In a sudden rush of apprehension, McKee focused on the attendant with the blade who stood there partly obscuring the seated Gowichin. Mreg spoke in a swift spill of words.
By our standards, McKee, you are not yet very well educated in Gowichin necessities. That was our error. And now you're... Impetuosity has put you into a position which is about to become untenable.
The attendant shifted slightly, arms moving up. McKee glimpsed the blade tip at the attendant's right shoulder.
Gowichin don't have families as do humans, or even Reeves, Mreg said. We have graduated advancement into groups which hold more and more responsibility for those beneath them. This was the pattern adopted by our high command. What you see as a Gowichin family is only a breeding group with its own limited rules. With each step up in responsibility goes a requirement that we pay an increasing price for failure. You ask if I know the price? Ah, McKee. The breeding male Gowichin makes sure that only the swiftest, most alert of his tads survive. A magister upholds the forms of the law. The High Command answers to a Mreg, you see, and a Mreg must make only the best decisions, no failures. Thus, Laupuk.
As he spoke the final word, the blade in the attendant's hands flashed out and around in a shimmering arc. It caught the seated Gowichin at the neck. Mreg's head, neatly severed, was caught in the loop at the blade's tip, lifted high, then lowered onto the white apron, which now was splashed with green gore. The scene blanked out, was replaced by the Gowichin who had connected McKee with Mreg. Erich wishes to consult his Legum, the Gowichin said.